Keegan's stages of development. Keegan's developmental model has three stages of development relevant for most adults. While some adults function from earlier, less complex stages, the vast majority of adults fall in the following three stages, or are transitioning between two of them. The first two, socialized mind and self-authoring mind, are conventional stages of development. Research suggests that roughly 80 to 90% of the adult population falls in or between these two stages. The highest stage in Keegan's model, the self-transforming mind, is a post-conventional stage as referenced in the introduction. Again, less than 1% of the adult population tests stably at this stage, while another 6 to 7% are transitioning out of the self-authoring mind and into the self-transforming stage. In Chapter 3, we will take our first look at elegance in Keegan's highest stage of development. First, let us familiarize ourselves with where the vast majority of adults function from developmentally. The socialized mind. Development in the socialized mind stage begins as identity shifts out of a subjectivity that is identified with personal needs, interests, and desires to a self that identifies with interpersonal relationships and the cultural norms of the groups in which they are participating. When this stage emerges, the self differentiates from an embeddedness in an imperial organization inside of personal needs and desires. With this distance, these needs, interests, and desires can now be regulated, mediated, and modified so that the integrity of interpersonal mutuality is protected, preserved, and even cultivated. To illustrate this transition, let us look at a common problem: infidelity in marriage. An individual operating in this stage preceding socialized mind may be asking him or herself the following questions. Can I get away with this without getting caught? What am I going to do to get out of this? And can this person give me what I want? As this person is asking these questions, they are reflecting his or her ultimate allegiance to his or her own sexual and or emotional needs, interests, and desires. This consideration is much different than the individual who is also contemplating infidelity, yet is asking him or herself, how will this impact the trust and relationship with my spouse? And how is this relationship going to impact the person I might treat with? These questions reflect an identification with the relationships themselves, both the spouse and the person whom they may begin to cheat. From the socialized mind stage, we may also find the question, can I get away with this? But this is now only a part of a now larger consideration. With this development of the mind, getting caught is only one feature to consider. The larger, more significant inquiry circles around the damages this infidelity may inflict onto the relationships presently identified with. The individual in the socialized mind often experiences his or her own well-being and integrity as intrinsically connected to the well-being of his or her relationships. Furthermore, there is also likely a new loyalty to someone else who has interests, expectations, and desires of which the socialized mind feels intimately a part. As identity shifts from personal needs, interests, and desires to mutual interpersonal relationships and the cultural expectations surrounding these relationships, the location of the self also changes. Instead of operating from inside of your own needs, interests, and desires, you can now stand outside of these preferences and thus see them as objects of your experience. What you now stand inside of is a larger space of consideration that is inside a socialized relational space. No longer is the world for or against just you. Instead, the world is now for or against us. Most notably, the relationships and culture the self identifies and participates with. With changes in identity and location, we also find the substance of the self changing. Subjectively, the self was made up of imperial, domineering preferences. Now, in the socialized mind, the self can be thought of as being made up of relational loyalties. This socialized self is a constellation of loyalties to relationships and groups of all types. Because the self is held, organized, and governed by its loyalties, individuals automatically defend and support these loyalties. All these adaptations are a qualitative leap forward in how the self functions and performs. Perhaps the most pronounced is the subordination of self-interests on behalf of a loyalty to maintaining relational bonds, friendships, a group and/or team coherence, and the broader cultural belongingness. As our exploration of infidelity demonstrated, the socialized mind is characterized by an orientation to the welfare of relationships, whereas earlier stages of development value relationships extrinsically. When the mind grows to identify and merge with relational space, relationships become intrinsically valuable. Prior to this, relationship is only valued by how it can serve the imperial dominated orientation to the self's own needs, interests, and desires. With the subordination of self-interests to serve a larger relational context, operating from the socialized mind reflects a larger reliability on timing and commitments, and an ability to hold up your own end of a relationship. At this stage of development, you can more easily get along with others and demonstrate respect and are genuinely trustworthy as the activity of your subjectivity takes others into account beyond their own self-interests. Individuals operating in the socialized mind stage have a new landscape of objects to relate to, make meaning with, and begin to use to modify and mediate the unfolding of their life. Beyond seeing their own needs, interests, and desires as objects that can be controlled and regulated, they are now able to see a complex internal psychological life in themselves and others. Enduring dispositions, ongoing needs, self-interests, a broad spectrum of preferences, abilities, and inner motivations all emerge as objects to see, relate to, and negotiate with. Additionally, internal emotional conflict is now an object that can be more readily acknowledged privately and shared with trusting and loyal friendships. These qualitative transformations of mind yield a more complex and capable human being than the earlier, smaller mind governed by the imperial, domineering self-interests, needs, and desires. And infidelity still happens in the socialized mind. This more mature stage is capable of qualitatively different capacities for empathy, relational connectedness, and consideration. However, this stage of functioning is still quite limited. One of the features making this stage confusing is that there are now presumably loyalties to both spouse and the possible new extramarital relationship. And because the self is made up of these relational loyalties, and thus does not stand outside of them, physical and emotional proximity often determines which loyalty will be acted on in any one moment. To resolve this limitation, a qualitative growth of mind is needed. To review, the socialized mind. 1. Identity. Interpersonal relationships and the cultural norms of the group or groups participated with. 2. Location. Inside socialized relational space. 3. Substance. The socialized mind is literally made up of relational loyalties. 4. Functionality. The subordination of self-interests to serve larger relational and cultural context. The self-authoring mind. Stacy is in her mid-20s and explains to me in our first session that she is struggling with codependence in her intimate relationship. Her blue eyes, tensed face, and collapsed body language illustrate what she has learned from a handful of self-help books on relationships, as well as two therapists she had been working with over the past couple of years. Her dependency is perceived as a dysfunction. From her perspective, dependency is a pathology she would like to get rid of. It is causing her great distress in her relationship, as she can seemingly not find the ability to be herself around her partner. In particular, Stacy struggles to maintain her boundaries and take stands for what is ultimately important to her. Thus, she is not being treated the way she wants, and she is not creating the relationship her heart now desires. I wait for her to come to a pause as she invites me into the world of her challenges. She pauses, and I say something shocking to her. Psychotherapy is likely not appropriate for you if this is the issue you want to work with. A puzzled look crosses Stacy's face. I continue to explain to her that this challenge is actually not pathological. Quite the contrary. This is precisely the healthy struggle I would hope you would be having in your mid-20s. This is not reflective of something wrong. Instead, this is happening in your relationships because things are going very well in terms of the growth of your mind. She looks at me with an inquisitive expression. You are outgrowing a normal, healthy stage of development called the socialized mind and entering into a new, more adaptive and capable stage of adult development. I continue. Yes. We can look in the various emotional and psychological bumps and bruises in your biographical history, but none of these can get rid of the developmental unfolding you are in right now. I recommend we engage in performance coaching instead of focusing on psychotherapy. The central thrust in her challenge was not pathological in nature. Instead, it was being able to perform and manage herself and her relationship in novel ways while in close proximity to her partner. Stacy's work ultimately required the ongoing development of her mind. So instead of focusing more on the reintegration and metabolization of unresolved experiences from her past, we focused on entirely new ways of orienting to herself and, as it turns out, many of her relationships, not just the one with her partner. One of the major limitations of the socialized mind is where the authority resides. In this stage, authority is always located outside of the self. This is because the loyalties that make up the substance of the self are structuring, organizing, and governing the self. Partners, parents, bosses, coworkers, siblings, cultural expectations, friends, other social circles, or, as we touched on earlier, a seductive individual inviting infidelity all powerfully hold the authority, quote, out there, and it is the socialized mind's job to conform and fit in. While the socialized mind is a stable ground to operate in, it often fails to adequately address many of the complex demands of adult life. As Stacy is finding out, the healthy and appropriate relational codependence inherent in socialized mind is not adequate to support her need to actually shape and direct a relationship that meets her more genuine needs. As it turns out, Stacy is also in graduate program where she is being challenged professionally to begin to stand as an authority in her field and area of expertise. No longer is it sufficient for her to point to other established figures in her field. Stacy has to now stand on her own 2 feet, so to speak. So, just as she is being challenged to take more judicious creative license professionally, her emerging larger mind is also demanding that she make this move in her intimate relationship as well. The self-authoring mind is the next stage of development in Keegan's model, and it is precisely what Stacy is bridging or transitioning into, and she has good company. Research shows that anywhere between 32 to 47% of adults are bridging between the socialized mind and the self-authoring mind. Like many other adults, Stacy needs to move her unquestioned loyalties for her interpersonal relationships from subject to object. Here, she will be able to limit, regulate, and manage her relationships and loyalties with greater nuance and connection to an authority residing inside of herself. In order for this to happen, though, she must shift her identity and author herself from within. She needs to become the self that sculpts her identity from the inside and ceases to be the self that is reflected to her by the surrounding relational and cultural norms she is participating in. Stacy's subjectivity needs to grow and expand so that she becomes the mind's activity of authoring her own unique ideology, principles, and moral and philosophical orientations. She can then have, hold, and manage her relational loyalties. Stacy is in the process of outgrowing what psychologist and sex therapist Dr. David Snarch calls the reflected self. As Stacy begins to self-author her identity from within her larger mind, she will be able to validate her own positions, thus creating a more solid, stable, and flexible sense of self that is more internally regulated, as opposed to the other validation and other regulation found in the socialized mind stage. As the identity grows out of the interpersonal mutuality in relationships, the self-authoring mind subjectively fuses with the activity of authorship. Identity and ideology are generated from a larger subjectivity residing inside of the self. When this occurs, the self establishes a new location. No longer does the self reside inside of socialized relational space. Now the self steps into a larger interior sphere of consideration and capacity. Subjectivity is now located inside self-authorship, which can hold, consider, and manage various interpersonal loyalties in new ways. This new location also brings forth a new substance. Instead of being made out of relational loyalties, the self is now made out of what we can call self-directing vision. The capacity to become a larger, more liberated self who is able to envision, author, self-generate, and create direction is an immense evolution of mind. Only about 34 to 35% of the adult population stably access this level of development. This inner-directed vision enables individuals to hold perspectives that dramatically reshape the functional capacities of the self. while our preceding stage of development was structured around the subordination of self-interests to serve a broader social, cultural, and relational context, the self-authoring mind stands as a powerful force reshaping social, cultural, and relational contexts. Based on inner-driven guiding ideologies, uniquely authored expectations, and creative intelligences inherent to the self can now effectively join with their intersubjective loyalties or take firm stands, as Stacy is learning to do. The self-authoring mind is well-resourced for managing boundaries and setting limits in relationship. Instead of loyalties governing the self, the now larger self governs and manages the kinds of loyalties present and how they are leveraged. One way Stacy will grow is in her ability to choose between being more loyal to who her partner is or to be more loyal to the person he can become. The former provides support while the latter instills challenge. Stacy will also be able to similarly give herself these different shades of support and challenge. Stacy's emergent self-authoring capacities will enable her to simultaneously include and exclude facets of her partner and their relationship. A few months into performance coaching brings with it Stacy's ability to embrace the relationship as it is, while also being able to challenge and set limits on it. As our sessions progress, Stacy's complaints begin to taper off, and she embraces more responsibility for her experiences. As a result, she begins to make clear, direct requests based on her deeper aspirations for herself and her relationship. As she practices this new level of communication with me, she gains confidence in her ability to negotiate the complex changes that are underway in her relationship. As she frees herself up from her own complaints, she begins to exhibit other self-authoring traits, such as multi-perspectivism. Instead of organizing her experience around her singular complaints, Stacy begins to open up her ability to hold many perspectives. She finds greater flexibility within herself as she stops identifying with her perspective as the perspective and begins to relate to the orientations in her mind as one possible perspective. The culturally defined roles no longer govern her functioning. Instead, she can manage roles, picking them up and putting them down at will. Additionally, Stacy is now able to create new roles as she functions both privately with her partner and professionally in her graduate studies. After about 6 months of performance coaching, Stacy has found a more reliable way to get closer to her partner, both physically and emotionally, while maintaining and refining the boundaries that fit for her. The expectations are clear both for herself and her partner, and she is beginning to enjoy new levels of intimacy and exploration. Where dissonance and difference once threatened her, her partner and their relationship, with Stacy challenging the relationship to grow, they are both now less anxious about differences. As Stacy tells me, while it has been a rocky road at times, they both are starting to explore how differences in opinions, desires, and needs actually are beginning to bring them closer together in new ways. To summarize the self-authoring mind. 1. Identity. The identity of the self is embedded in the ability to author, create, and innovate from within. 2. The location of the self is inside the capacity for self-authorship. 3. The substance of the self is made up of self-directing vision. 4. Functionality. This self-authoring mind can reshape social, cultural, and relational contexts by the inner-driven intelligences inside of the self. Development and maturity. As you can see, development expands both the size of the self and the complexity that is able to be negotiated. The larger the developmental scope, the greater the possibilities for being and performing in more powerful and flexible ways. Remember, bigger is not always better, though. Developmental capacity can be hijacked by less complex and refined motives. So, with greater developmental capacity comes more responsibilities for creating and participating with greater truth, beauty, and goodness. And it also opens up more risks for harm if less evolved motives leverage higher capacities. One way we can refine our understanding of human development is to pick up the concept and application of maturity. Dr. Mark Forman, professor, psychotherapist, and author of A Guide to Integral Psychotherapy, defines maturity as the ability of a person to apply his or her developmental center of gravity in an emotionally centered way across a broad spectrum of personal and public domains of human functioning. Forman uses the analogy of developmental growth as the acquisition of height, whereas maturity is a function of girth or width. The broader the base, the more stable the functioning will be across divergent domains. Likewise, a narrower width, the more stress, demands in underdeveloped areas of the self and other situational pressures may knock off higher capacities altogether or support a psychological ecosystem where higher capacities are leveraged by less developed motives of the self. Put simply, our investigation into development is not only interested in the higher reaches of complexity and functioning, but it is also interested in the stability of the self's ability to perform over time and in different contexts. For Stacy, this means not just myopically focusing on her intimate relationship, but also broadening her ability to set limits, manage boundaries, and take stands for the many ways she can nourish and enrich her experience as a human being. As her developmental complexity emerged out of the socialized mind and into the self-authoring mind, we could say she got developmentally taller and more capable as she explored new, more flexible ways to make meaning and carve forth new action in her intimate relationship. But Stacy was also practicing her larger developmental capacities in her educational training, and as it turns out, her newfound ability to author and validate her experience showed up with friends, family, and a newfound passion to write and publish 2 new articles in her field of expertise. As Stacy broadened the scope of her developmental functioning, she was also expanding her maturity. As it turns out, she was grooming her prerequisites for human elegance. She was refining her developmental facility, and she was expanding the responsible deployment of her new capacities. In the process, Stacy began to enjoy one of the central benefits of more development coupled with greater maturity. She became a more effective human being in more areas of her life, personally and professionally. Exercises to reveal your socialized mind and self-authoring mind. The following questions help you identify where and how you may be functioning in these 2 important stages of development. Closely inspect your experience as you reflect on these inquiries and use the personal notes and reflection section to capture key insights. The socialized mind. When do you find yourself being defined by the culture and/or relationships surrounding you? For example, in what situations do you find yourself being influenced by peer pressure or peer opinions? Are there advertisements that have recently caught your attention? Reflect on what drives your consumer choices. How do social norms set limits and boundaries for you? Identify at least one social norm that sets a positive boundary for you, as well as one social norm that may be limiting you unnecessarily. For example, do conventions of being nice keep you from greater honesty and transparency? When are loyalties to others controlling you without much consideration? For example, do you keep yourself bound to a certain habit or behavior to maintain connection with a family member or close friend? Paying close attention to the relationships that matter most to you, how are you and your behaviors pushed and pulled around by relationships? For example, do you conform to a set of behaviors in order to maintain a certain social personality? Notice when you expect conformity and sameness in values, ideals, beliefs, and behaviors from those around you. How and when do you complain in an attempt to get people around you to conform to your expectations? In particular, consider either a current or past intimate relationship. The self-authoring mind. Think of a time in your life when you were driven by an inner yet fallible intelligence within yourself. What did it feel like? How did you act in relationship to others? Think of a time when you were able to be physically and emotionally close to someone important to you while also maintaining your distinctness. How would you describe your experience when you keep someone company without merging into and joining them in their experience? Think of an example of when you create your own roles and manage your own boundaries. Reflect on one or two examples of how you set limits and take stands based on your own inner guided convictions. Do you welcome diversity, both in the people you presume to be similar as well as those who presume are different? How? When and how do you support other people's plans, goals, and aspirations independently from your own? Think of an example of how you have supported others while also supporting yourself. Consider an example of when you directly communicate wants and needs to make clear requests. How do you do this? What qualities of internal experience are present? How do you work with disappointment, both your own and others, while welcoming and encouraging the autonomy of others? For example, what is your internal response when others don't act as you wish they might, or you do not conform to other people's expectations? To learn more about the socialized mind and self-authoring mind, visit www.theelegantself.com/Keegan.